that's invisible there. Cause we're living at the mercy of the pain and the fear. Until we dead it, forget it, let it all disappear.
Yeah. Waiting for the end to come, wishing I had strength to stand. This is not what I had planned. It's out of my control.
So, Pat, do you ever listen to Celtics games on the radio anymore, Grandy and Max?
Of course.
If you hear the when Grandy does the starting lineups, that's a song that plays. That was Waiting for the End by Linkin Park. And you are listening to Brutal Brunch here at WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Thank you again to Darnley. Nice transition as always. Have a good rest of your day.
Okay.
And that's right, I said Pat, not Matt this morning, because we have another guest host. Matt is off again. Shirking his metal history duties, enjoying the weekend somewhere else. He's actually in Philadelphia. And so my friend Pat has joined us. And one of the reasons being, as you just heard, there was no regular show intro. Instead, that was a Linkin Park song because we were playing all either Linkin Park or songs featuring Chester Bennington. For those of you who are unaware at this point, Chester Bennington died by suicide this week at the age of 41 on the day that would have been the birthday of Chris Cornell, who also passed away a couple months ago. So, Pat, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining.
Morning, everybody.
And before we get into things, numbers here are 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264 if you'd like to call in. Also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff if you want to check in. So one of the reasons Pat's on the show is because as soon as I heard the news, there were two people other than Matt that I thought of. I was like, well, there's Pat, because we used to listen to Linkin Park all the time, driving to Rochester for old baseball tournaments.
Yeah.
And then my cousin, who's now, or my cousin, my nephew, who's now 18, but at about the time he was 11, he came up to me one day, and so Linkin Park, I mean, Hybrid Theory came out in 2000, right?
Yeah.
I was a sophomore in high school. And
so he was barely alive.
He was 2 years old.
Yeah.
And when he was 11, he came up to me one day, because he was a huge Linkin Park fan, and goes, "Matt, I feel like I basically discovered Linkin Park." Like, he was the first person to hear them, like a demo somewhere, and like brought them to the world. I was like, not quite. They came out about 10 years ago.
You're practically David Geffen at this point. Yes. Yeah.
So, thanks. Bye, darling. So Pat was kind enough to come down from New Hampshire this morning.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a good time. Good time to drive home from New Hampshire.
Exactly. So why don't you... Because Linkin Park is kind of funny, because they were the first band that I was a sophomore in high school. It was literally the first time I heard one of those musical hipsters kind of complain about a band. Like, it was the first time I ever heard the phrase corporate rock. And I'm sitting there in my locker, and this kid's like complaining about Linkin Park.
Yeah.
It's like, this manufactured corporate...
Well, they didn't curse. Right. I think that was a big thing when they first came out.
Yeah, and they were... And it was a kind of a unique... I mean, there's two people saying... You know, they were basically the, maybe not the pioneers, but at least became the godfathers of new metal. And I kind of hate today, even like bands, or not bands, but websites like Metal Sucks, when they reported the news, everybody had to make a disclaimer. They're like, not that we were fans of Linkin Park, but this is very sad, and I thought. And it's like, well, why do you have to do that? Like, you could either just not say that. Like, are you afraid that all these fanboys now are going to mistake you for like a Linkin Park fan page or something? So that really drives me crazy. But it's like, people don't understand that regardless of where your thoughts are. So, like, Chris Cornell, when he passed away, he was from the grunge era, which would have been more of my older sister's. So she was in high school that whole period. So it was still, everybody knows Chris Cornell
everyone
is. That
knew
was huge,
Chris Cornell
and that was, like, that was devastating. But Linkin Park was a band that was more contemporary for us.
Yeah.
So, and they're pop. So it was, like, a huge thing. Like, you grew up with these guys, whether or not you listened to them and saw all the stuff that they did. All of Mike Shinoda's collaborations, all of Chester Bennington's collaborations, different movies they were in, all the, like, a whole ton of stuff. So it's like, it's a huge deal.
Yeah. Yeah, you literally interrupted a demo I was doing for work with your text, and I stopped paying attention to what I was working on to the point where I got asked a question and wasn't paying attention on this call I was on. And at first I just was bummed, like, that it happened. Mm-hmm. They had just come out with all this new music, we're just starting a tour, he's got six kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I let it set in, I was like, wow, this guy was a huge part of, like, my late teen to 20 years of, like, music and influence and lyrics. And, yeah, it just was... I'd never gotten that sad about, like, a celebrity death before, you know? Obviously, last year, we lost icons like Prince and Bowie, but that was before my era. I think this is the first one that really... I mean, I was still pretty young when... Kurt Cobain killed him, you know what I mean? Like, that was probably the biggest one of our era before that. But even then, I think I was in, like, sixth grade when that happened or something, you know? So I think this was the first one that was like, oh, wow, this is someone I didn't know. It's not like a close family friend, you know what I mean? It's just like a celebrity death that kind of stung, you know? But yeah, it's... like you said, I think they kind of got that bad rap of corporate rock because they didn't curse. They were new. They weren't Korn. They weren't Durst, you know?
Yeah. Like,
but yeah, they were influential for sure.
So, so that's why we're today going to be doing all Linkin Park, all Chester Bennington. We'll get to some stuff later in the show, which is not Linkin Park, but different bands he played with or different mashups, things like that. But, we'll jump back into some more songs now. Gonna do a sweet, because this is my show, I can I pick my top songs from most of their albums, so we're gonna go in chronological order here. But I think how many albums did I put out? Six, I want to say, studio albums, because then they had like the live, they had Reanimation
was the best.
They had,
I love that album. Yeah, because I think they did a remix of Hybrid and
Meteora.
Yeah.
And then they had the Collision Course album EP with Jay-Z.
Yep.
Live
in Texas.
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
So we will, here's a suite of my personal favorite songs from, we'll hit up Hybrid Theory, Meteora, Minutes to Midnight, which I have a story about that album and that concert too. And then, yeah, there's four songs from Linkin Park. Again, we're a tribute to Chester Bennington, deviating quite a bit from the typical format here in Brutal Bunch, so we will not have metal history or a concert list or anything like that. Just talking about Linkin Park, remembering Chester Bennington, who again died by suicide at the age of 41 this week. And this is Papercut from the album Hybrid Theory, and you're listening to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM streaming live on WMFO.org.
I can do it, distract me when I think of how I shot myself in the back again. Cause from the infinite words I can say, I put all the pain you gave to me on display, but didn't realize, instead of setting it free, I took what I hated and made it a part of me. Again, I remember when it started happening. I'd see you in every thought I had, and then the thoughts slowly found words attached to them. And I knew as they escaped away, I was committing myself to them. And every day I regret saying those things, cause now I see that I took what I hated and made it a part of me. Never goes away.
Never goes away. And now you become a part of me. You'll always be my fear. You'll become a part of me. You'll always be my fear. I can't separate. Seemed really depressed.
Had a knack for beating himself up.
She wishes that she was never born. And
it was intimidating to talk to him sometimes because he just seemed so isolated by himself.
She started talking about how she wishes that her life was over.
And so I knew he had depression, but I didn't know it was that far.
Said something to me about killing himself.
Tell somebody, tell an adult, a counselor, parent, whatever.
It's a hard situation because you do risk making that person very angry and losing their friendship.
What are you going to do? Let them destroy themselves? I mean, I don't see much of a choice at all.
It's definitely worth getting help, even if you think you're going to lose a friendship, because it's better to lose the friendship than the actual friend.
Suicide is one of the leading causes of death among teens. For more information, contact the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention at 888-333-AFSP or online at afsp.org.
Top these roofs, tied it tight so I won't get loose. Truth is, you can stop and stare. Run myself out and no one cares. Dug the trench out, lay down there with a shovel up out of reach somewhere. Yeah, someone pour it in, make it a dirt dance floor again. Say your prayers and stop it out when they bring that chorus in.
I bleed it out, digging deeper just to throw it away. I bleed it out, digging deeper just to throw it away. I bleed it out, digging deeper just to throw it away. Just to throw it away, just to throw it away.
The show, choppy words and a sloppy blow. Shotgun opera, lock and load. Cock it back and then watch it go. Mama help me, I've been cursed. Death is rolling in every verse. Candy paint on his brand new hearse. Can't contain him, he knows he works. I won't lie, doesn't matter how hard I try. Afterwards don't mean a thing, and I know that I won't be satisfied. So why try ignoring him? Make it a dirt dance floor again. Say your prayers and stop it out when they bring that chorus in.
I bleed it out, digging deeper just to throw it away.
And welcome back to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. That was just a few of my favorite Linkin Park songs. So started off that set with Paper Cut off Hybrid Theory, Figure 09 from Meteora. Have you ever seen the movie SWAT?
Of course.
Featured in that movie.
Do I own it on DVD? Yeah.
As do I, or as did I?
Any horrible movie from that time frame, I probably have seen it multiple times, own it, could quote it.
There
in
you
a
go.
Way that no one else can.
And yeah, I feel like a lot of these types of songs are featured on those movies, which is perfect.
That's true, yeah.
Then we have Bleed It Out off Minutes to Midnight, and then that last one was Rebellion, featuring Darren Malakian from System of a Down, with extra guitar there. You could probably hear that System of a Down influence off of The Hunting Party. So those are just a few highlights. And for those of you who may not probably heard the news that Chester had died, but may not be Linkin Park fans or have listened to Linkin Park, just so we're all clear, Mike Shinoda is the singer who does kind of like the more rappy lyrics.
Yeah.
And then Chester is more of the screamer. So.
Yeah. I think that was one of the great things about Chester is that he could scream, but then he also had that sort of melodic kind of rock ballad type voice too. I think you don't find a lot of people out there that can flip both sides of that coin. Mm-hmm. Maybe Corey.
That's right.
You know, you get like Slipknot, Stone Sour, his solo stuff.
Interesting you should mention them, too.
He's probably the one that comes that close.
Yeah. So, why don't you... So, you have a prop.
Yeah, I was filtering through DVDs, as a person who's in their mid-30s does, last night, and just came across this Linkin Park DVD that I have from 2001 that I didn't even remember was in there. That's probably moved from every apartment I've had to the house I now own, and it just got stuck in between like Knocked Up and probably SWAT. But yeah, it's called Frat Party at the Pancake Festival, and it's got like their videos from One Step Closer, Crawling. It's all the old stuff, Points of Authority, and then it has, you know, making of videos, which, you know, used to be on MTV. They would show the making of and then the actual video. But I just thought it was funny that I found it last night of all times, just kind of flipping through trying to find a movie.
Right.
It's got the audio for Crawling and My December, which I listened to for the first time in probably 15 years and forgot how good a song that is. That shows, like, I think the other side of...
Exactly.
The non-screaming side of Chester's voice, which is awesome still.
Yeah. And you'll hear that in a couple other tracks we have lined up for this morning. And I remember... my sister, I mentioned, was kind of grew up in the grunge era. She no interest in Linkin Park whatsoever. And then she heard My December. She's like, "This is really good." Oh, it's Linkin Park. Now I accidentally like Linkin Park.
Now I have to hate it. Yeah.
I was trying to look up some details about that DVD, but that's not working right now.
No.
Anyway, so I know too. You said that they were one of your favorite concerts you've ever been to.
Oh,
Do you know what show that was?
Oh man. So this was probably around when they were touring for Meteora, because I was probably a sophomore or junior in college, so that would have been 01, 02 time frame, so after Hybrid, probably around Meteora, and I think Cypress Hill opened for them.
Oh, I remember that. I didn't go to that, but I remember...
It was in whatever the Centrum is called now, but yeah.
The DCU.
DCU's
tour.
Yeah, so it was them, and I want to say either like Power Man or Static X, one of those famous brother bands, was supposed to open and didn't show up.
Oh, no.
And they had some terrible DJ. And then, yeah, Cypress Hill. I don't remember who else opened for them. I just remember Linkin Park was amazing. I got right in the front of the pit, and they played My Own Summer, which, shout out to another great band.
Deftones classic.
And they were, you know, I mean, they'd been touring, or I think they toured with Deftones after that. But, I mean, Deftones, I think, were big before Linkin Park even came along. And so they gave them kind of a shout out, and they're like, "This is a band that's been great to us. We're going to play this song." And this was one of my favorite songs at the time, because it's, you know, it's screaming the words, "Shove it, shove it." Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a good angry song to listen to in your angsty college years. And I was so surprised no one else, it was like me and one other kid. Shinoda was right in front of us, hanging over the fence, like letting everyone sing with him. And no one else knew. It was like me and one other dude, and we're just screaming into the mic. And yeah, it was crazy. God, I think I got kicked in the head. I think I lost an old Tar Heels hat that I bought at Lids at the Square One Mall, if that tells you how long ago that was. But yeah, that was an amazing show.
That's cool.
Definitely awesome.
That's better than the one time I saw at Linkin Park live, which was 2007 Project Revolution Tour.
Yeah.
And actually, I was looking up the lineup the other day, and I didn't even remember half the bands playing there. I drove, and it was... I mean, I was driving, so it was, I wasn't like drunk or anything like that. I just, like, Taking Back Sunday was there. Couldn't, if you put a gun to my head, couldn't have told you they were on the lineup that day. But it was Project Revolution 2000, so 2007.
How was I not at that show? Speaking Those are two of my favorite bands of all time.
It was, yeah, so they were there. My Chemical Romance, which okay. I do remember that they were there. I don't remember their performance at all. Julian K, so you were mentioning Chester's other projects.
Yeah.
Was it Dead by Sunrise?
Yeah.
Which is with the guys from Julian K slash Orgy.
Yeah.
And those guys, I do remember, because we went into, like, the main stage, and we were, like, just plopped down somewhere on the bowl, because it was out at Xfinity Center, and there was, like, this girl next to us was, like, texting her boyfriend, like, figuring out who Julian K was, and they're, like, she's, like, oh, it's the guys from Orgy. So we're, like, oh, that's cool. So, like, so Julian K played, oh, I'm totally blanking on them right now, the band that covered Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush. Pure Morning. Placebo played.
I remember
them playing, because they opened with Pure Morning. And, like, that bung, dung, dung, like, that opened the thing. Like, they come walking on the stage like that, and everybody went nuts, and then nobody knew any of the rest of the songs. I think there was one other band, Taking Back Sunday, My Chemical Romance, and then Linkin Park. And I just was... It was one of those, was like, one of those hot days. You've been there forever. My friend was drunk and, like, getting into fights with people, and then, like, they pull out the piano, and I was like, what is this? That was, like, when I was back in a Linkin Park fan, like, whenever they had the piano songs, I was not a fan. But they're... And they're also, like, kind of... playing their heaviest stuff, but, like, kind of laid back.
Yeah.
So, at the time, I did not appreciate it. Yeah, I was not a huge fan. But yes, I know that they, clearly you had much better experience.
Oh, yeah.
And they have the Live in Texas album and other stuff.
Yeah. I mean, if you watch, just another thing about Chester, if you watch Live in Texas, they filmed at the old, before that monstrosity that the Cowboys play in now.
Mm-hmm.
They filmed there. It's clearly... hotter than Hades, and Chester comes out in a long sleeve button down shirt, and by, like, the second song is just completely sweat through the shirt. But it was amazing. I love that album. I was, like I said, I was watching it after I heard the news about him the other day, just because I hadn't seen it in forever. But I used to listen to that at the gym, just because it's, like, a great album to just run through. And yeah, it's awesome.
Nice. And then
old school.
I was gonna say, the other thing, I remember we were maybe we'll play a song later, maybe not. But when we listen to Hybrid Theory on the way to, again, our baseball tournaments, and the song Forgotten, we're like, they're doing all the woos and all that stuff like that, and we're like, we have to get all this stuff. In between, when we were listening to Anthem by Good Charlotte and, Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, we would listen to the Forgotten and, like, have to nail all the words.
Crappy pop punk.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Pop punk and new metal. That's actually, new metal's one of the Brutal Bunch. We, unironically, endorse new. We're all about it.
Yeah.
So...
I don't know. Good Charlotte, I think, kind of goes along. They had that song Hold On that was all about suicide and stuff, too. So I think they have kind of that same message.
Yeah, and it was, I don't know if you're on Twitter, but somebody, I mean, it was the lead singer from the band Thursday,
okay,
posted a response. And somebody asked him, he's like, well, why are there so many? It seems like there's a ton in music, singers especially, suicide. And he made the point, his kind of theory was, he's like, I think you're right. And I think part of the reason is to be able to, a lot of singers are very introverted.
Yeah.
And in order to be successful, you need to be, you got, like, it's like an unhealthy obsession with music. You need to be so into it and so moved by music in order to stay with this and continue to do it. And so then when you take that type of personality and then put them in the public, and you have, you know, you're critically acclaimed one day, then you're being bashed the next day. So it's this roller coaster of emotions.
Right.
And you get out there, you don't know how to handle yourself. And eventually, just between the mixture of emotions, anyway, you may be self-medicating, just not being able to handle stuff and getting to your end of the rope. That's why it's kind of
I mean, not to mention, you go from 1 minute being on stage playing to potentially a stadium of thousands of people screaming there for you, they've paid to see you, to you're alone in a hotel room, like you said. That's where self-medication kicks in. That's where you're like, okay, now I don't have people screaming my name, cheering, it's just me and my own thoughts. And I think you have to be a certain amount of broken to at least be good in that industry, you know what I mean?
But. And you see, and there's some examples that are very public too, that, I mean, they're still alive, but, and it's just odd how different things get handled. Like, Randy Blythe, the singer of Lamb of God, was a huge alcoholic, and they basically were like, the band was like, we love you, you need to get your head out. Like, they finally made him realize that he was, like, being an a-hole and all this stuff like that. And I mean, there's
Metallica.
Some people can recover, some people can't. So he was able to do that, so he's sober and fine. Then you have, like, the lead singer of Puddle of Mud, another band, who's just, like, again, an a-hole, but he's, there's a ton of addiction problems, but his band was just like, they quit and they're like, we're not doing this anymore, which is good for them. But at the same time, he's just like, he's still going with just other musicians and he's still doing the same crap over and over.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's just like ticking time bomb.
Yeah. Yeah. I think too, I remembered hearing a quote, because I mean, you and I admittedly said there was a certain point where you kind of fell off the yep. LP bandwagon, so to speak, when their music changed a little. And I think I saw an interview with Chester where he said, I can't make the same kind of music because I'm happy now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he'd gotten married again, he was having kids, and he's just like, I'm not in that sort of Hybrid Theory meteora part of my life anymore. And I think that's maybe where a lot of people kind of lost track with them a little bit. But I think definitely, like, listening to the new album, you can kind of pick up on the older, it has that sort of new Linkin Park style, but you can kind of pick up on some of the older mm-hmm. feelings, so to speak, that were in the lyrics.
Yeah, and it's really, a lot of people look back to lyrics now and be like, oh, this is what.
Yeah, oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's like, I remember the band.
Writing was on the wall.
With Joy Division. They're like, oh, so he was actually writing, this was not just stuff he made up. It's like, yeah,
no. Yeah, yeah, like, no. It's hurt for
it's
real.
It's like a release.
Yeah.
And yeah, the, because I remember too, Perry, because then they were on the Transformers soundtrack, and I was yeah. like, what is this? But, Waiting for the End was actually the song that kind of pulled me back in. It was like the one single I heard off of A Thousand Suns. I was like, oh, this is really, really cool. All right, so why don't you talk about your, well, one of your favorite songs, Somewhere I Belong.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, it was just when Hybrid Theory and Meteora came out, Hybrid Theory came out in what, 2000? Meteora was?
2002.
02?
Yeah.
So that's the first 2 years of college. Falling out with friends after high school, cycling through girlfriend, you know what I mean? It's just like that sort of painful time in your life where you're trying to find that spot where you fit. And so I think their music, I felt like no other band at the time, or even still, you listen to a song, you're like, okay, this was written for me. Like, this was written for the thoughts that I have right now and the way that I feel. So I think definitely songs like, I think I picked Somewhere I Belong, just the title fits, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's also one of my favorite songs by them. That album, still, so many songs from that album are on, like, my Spotify playlist for the gym. You know what I mean? It's just, like, gets you going on the treadmill or whatever. So, but yeah, I think Somewhere I Belong kind of speaks to just finding where you fit in life.
Yeah, and it's interesting. A lot of people felt that way about In the End when it came out. I was not a fan of that song personally, but yeah, that was... And again, if you weren't in high school around that time, again, you might think of it like, what is this band? But it's one of those things where there's bands either obscure now or popular at the time, if different generations that you connect with. And this was, that era kind of high school, college, that people were like, just the lyrics or whatever people were connecting with. So we will play Somewhere I Belong, also off of Meteora. We will also play you coming up. A lot of people don't know this. Chester, so before Scott Weiland died, but after he was fired from the band... Another time, Scott Weiland. Chester.
Another guy.
Yeah.
Drugs ruined a huge talent.
And one of the reasons we were playing. So Chester was officially a member, the lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots for a couple of years before leaving again to focus more with Linkin Park. So we'll play one of his live tracks with Stone Temple Pilots. And we'll see if we can fit in one or two others before we come back and say goodbye. So again, this is Somewhere I Belong off of Meteora in the middle of our Linkin Park / Chester Bennington tribute. Here on Rebel Bunch, WMFO, Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
to find the way everyone is looking at me.
Nothing to lose,
nothing to gain, hollow and alone. In the fall, just my own, in the fall.
Somewhere I belong, I will never know myself. If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son.
I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
Hit me.
Patrol on a gap patrol. Foes who wanna make sure his cask is closed. Rap critics who say his money cash holes. He's from the hood, stupid. What type of facts are those? If you want your hoes and your zapper toes, you can celebrate the minute you was having though. So critics, you can kiss our whole ass. You don't like the lyrics, you can press fast forward. The radio, we don't play their show. They don't play our hits, we don't give it. So all these bags trying to use our ass, so advertisers can give them more cash for ass. I don't know what you take us as, or understanding intelligence that Jay-Z has. From rags to riches, we ain't dumb. We got 99 problems and a bitch ain't one.
99 problems and a bitch ain't one. If you have more problems, I'll have you some.
I got 99 problems and a bitch ain't one.
Melody is 94 and my trunk is wrong. In the rearview mirror is the mop. I got two choices, y'all. Pull over the car or bounce on the devil, put the pedal to the floor. And I ain't trying to see no how we chase the day. Plus, I got a few dollars, I can fight the case. So I pull over to the side of the road, I heard.
Son, do you know what I'm stopping you for?
Cause I'm young and I'm black and my hat's real low. Do I look like a mind reader, sir? I don't know. Am I under arrest or should I guess some more?
Well, you was doing 55 in the 54. License and registration and step out of the car. You carrying a weapon on you, know a lot of you are.
I ain't stepping out of no, my paper chill.
Well, do you mind if I look around the car a little bit?
Well, my glove compartment is not so with the trunk in the back. And I know my rights, so you gonna need a warrant for that.
Aren't you sharp as a tack? Give me some type of law or something, somebody important or something.
I ain't passed the bar, but I know a little bit enough that you wanna legally search my.
Well, we'll see how smart you are when the canines come.
I got 99 pounds, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me. 99 pounds, but a bitch ain't one. If you have a girl problems, I'll come back you some. I got 99 pounds, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me. 99 pounds, but a bitch ain't one. If you have a girl problems, I'll come back you some. I got 99 pounds, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me. 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. And once upon a time, not too long ago, like myself, and it's far to hold my hoe. This is not a hoe, but this is a habit. Man says he's trying to push me. I try to ignore him, talk to the Lord, pray for him. But sometimes it's hard to perform. You know the type, balance a motorbike. But when you want some pretty good, a fruit bike. And I'ma get the clapping in. He and his boys gon' be yapping to the captain. And now I go trapped in the Kit Kat again. Back through the system with the riffraff again. Things on the floor, I'm scratching again. Paparazzi with their cameras snapping them. He ain't trying to give me the shaft again. Half a meal for them, cause I'm African. Only cause the fool was harassing them. Trying to play the boy like he's saccharine. But ain't nothing sweet, but I'll hold my gun. I got 99 problems and a bitch ain't one. If you having girl problems, I'm a bad news, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. If you having girl problems, I'm a bad news, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me.
So there you go. That was a song off of Collision Course, the EP that Linkin Park did with Jay-Z, where they basically re-recorded everything. the
pretty much
music and lyrics. As you, that Mike Shinoda sang some of the verses from 99 Problems. Also was the cop in that version.
Yep.
And for that, we had Stone Temple Pilots when Chester Bennington was the official lead singer of that band. It wasn't just like a guest appearance. He actually recorded an EP with them too.
2 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they made new music.
Mm-hmm. It was like a 5-song EP, but that was Interstate Love Song, one that everybody knows. That was live, I believe, from 2013 at the Hard Rock in Biloxi, which also reminds me of the famous Fred Durst line, speaking of new metal, which resurfaced on Twitter this week.
Ruins the stage, right? Son.
Aaron Lewis is doing his thing on stage, and then in comes Fred Durst.
I think he says, I feel those lighters. Yeah.
Unbelievable. And, before that, we kicked off that mini set with Somewhere I Belong, which is one of Pat's favorites off of Meteora. I was saying also, too, that song reminds me of sometime in high school again, back when that was on the radio, BCN was doing they did a stupid gimmick where they would be like, oh, we play at least five songs every time between commercials, and all the other DJs would literally play 5 songs, and then it was just really frustrating to get into any sort of rhythm. But anyway, Adam 12 would always like play 8 songs in a row. Adam 12 now on Radio BTC, and that was one of the songs that was in heavy rotation at the time, and there was like a couple of the crappy songs I didn't like, but at least when that came on, I was happy doing my work in the development office at my former high school.
There you go.
So that just about wraps things up. We have a few minutes. Any other Linkin Park memories or anything you wanted to bring up or share?
Man, I just think kind of looking back on them this week, obviously getting back into them, the old stuff a little bit after hearing the news. I just think, I don't know, maybe I just liked them so much. I just don't think they've been repeated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think even just from a band standpoint, did you just hear so much people, bands splitting up and all this stuff? Like, who else really survives with two frontmen?
Mm-hmm.
Two different frontmen in the way that, like, you know, like I said earlier, Chester has that kind of scream, sing side of things. And then you've got Shinoda who does the rap, and you've got DJ, drums, guitar, but you know what I mean? It's just like, I think that they were pretty unique, and like you said, I think it was tough that they got so much hate that they did at the time.
Yep.
And it'll be tough, man. I think he was a bigger loss than people probably credit him for now. They definitely won't move forward the same,
mm-hmm. you know,
but to be handed the reins of STP,
right,
a huge band of that era, and to make new music, it's not, you know, it's not like, hey, you're the guy that took over for Steve Perry, but you're just gonna sing the old Journey songs because that's what people pay to see.
And because you have the same voice.
So. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, okay, cool, Adam Lambert, we took you off TV and put you in charge of Queen, you know, but they still call mm-hmm. themselves Queen and Adam Lambert. It's not like, okay, we took Chester Bennington, it's not STP and Chester Bennington, this is the new version of STP,
right.
You know? To take over from a guy, like I said before, Scott Weiland, who could have really been so much more than he was if it wasn't for drugs, you know?
Right.
But
so Scott Weiland, who overdosed. Yes.
Yeah.
Another singer gone, and we are going to get to one other singer who passed away previously. And before we do, the show will be back probably with Matt rejoining same time, same place next week. I was also going to mention, too, like, because people would hate on the guitarist because they'd be like, oh, well, he's not very good. He wears headphones. He plays very simple melody. But he was like, especially after Meteora, when they kind of weaned off the metal part of nu metal.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, no, first of all, he's like he didn't like solos. So people criticized him for not being technical. But he's like, no, I just don't want the attention.
Yeah.
And then so he played some more. He was featured more. But then like he switched his sound, like with all his pedals and effects and stuff like that, to match, to almost kind of be like a synth and to match that, which is like its own other kind of brand of talent. You know?
I think he went from an age of there was that frontman guitarist kind of mm-hmm. Steven Tyler, Joe Perry type setup, or Zeppelin, same thing. And then, I mean, Tom Morello kind of,
right,
you know, revolutionized that whole role in the band. So yeah, if he's just simple, wore his headphones for like the first two albums and just crushed guitar, yeah, I'm sure people.
I was also very confused that. Because they're in the video for they did the song with Executioners.
Yep.
Which Executioners basically produced the whole thing, but the video it was Mike Shinoda singing because he does the vocals on that track. Brad Delson, the guitarist with his headphones playing, and I think their drummer. I was like, watch. I was like, why isn't this Linkin Park featuring Executioners? Why is Executioners thinking like? And then people would be like, no, they produced it. Linkin,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
That is like their song. It's like, oh.
I think too. I mean, they made them kind of big. I don't mm-hmm. I don't remember. I mean, I think yep. I saw Executioners.
Didn't they show up the VMAs or something? I feel like they're at the VMAs when Linkin Park was huge.
Yeah, I think I saw them in between sets at like I don't even remember what the tour was. Eminem headlined, Papa Roach was randomly there. I don't even remember what it was called at the time. but yeah, they just, if you go back and listen to Reanimation, because it's a great album and there's a bunch of nobodies on it. The dude from Black Thought from the Roots makes like a real quick couple of bars on one song and kills it. But
nice.
I think that they did that. They have this this British rapper, Stormzy, is on their new album. Okay. One of the songs on the new album with Pusha T. It's pretty good.
Nice. And yeah, we'll see how they do move on. They were supposed to go on tour with Blink 182, as you were talking off there, which would have been incredible. So yeah, we're going to end things now. So thank you for joining us for our Linkin Park Chester Bennington tribute this week. And we're going to end things with, as we mentioned, Chester died on the day that was the birthday of Chris Cornell, who also died by suicide earlier this year. People question his wife, blamed it on the medications he was on at the time. Didn't think that he would have normally been suicidal, but and people did not know. I think until Chester went and sang Hallelujah at his funeral, and kind of stuff that's come out recently, that they were really legitimately close friends. Yeah. They weren't just like collaborators or anything like that. And you'll hear this song is from I believe a 2008 tour. It's Project Revolution 2008, and Chris Cornell was touring solo with Linkin Park.
Yeah,
and they played this song, which everybody should recognize. But if you don't, it's Hunger Strike, originally by Temple of the Dog, which featured Chris Cornell, and they kind of flipped the lyrics. So Chris Cornell did the high lyrics on the original version, and Eddie Vedder did the low.
Yeah.
So now
Chris Cornell does the low. Chester's
there. Yeah. Chester does the high. Although at one point they do, towards the end, they do switch, and like you hear Chris Cornell, and you're like, "Whoa, that's from the original single."
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. He still has that voice. So this is it. This is Hunger Strike from Project Revolution 2008, Chris Cornell featuring Chester Bennington. And you have been listening to Brittle Blunt Chair on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Thank you for Pat for co-hosting this week.
Thank you for having me.
Playing in admirably for Matt. We should be back next week. And until then, stay brutal.
Who's drunk enough to be in a singing out loud mood? Bomb.